cliffcentral.com.
So it is time for This Is Us, which is really our opportunity once a week, and we've missed out on two of these weeks because, Yatish, I heard you weren't so well. Are you feeling better?
I am. How's it going, everybody?
Good, man. Nice to see you. So Yatish Nasi is here, and we've got Lebang Hosana, and This Is Us is what we do on a Tuesday. It's our opportunity to kind of get on with being South African and make things look better and brighter tomorrow than it has been for the past while. Also try to figure out what our challenges are and come face to face with the things that we have to accept about ourselves. Look in the mirror. What makes us South African? Today, and I'm really going to introduce him as briefly as possible because I have so much time for this man. He's one of the most authentic people I know. He lives his principles. He has been involved in countless transformations of countless young men's lives by getting involved in something which is neither sexy nor is it top of the agenda for so many people in this country. You know, we talk quite a lot about young people, we talk quite a lot about women, we talk quite a lot about things like gender-based violence, which obviously need addressing. But the deep issue at the heart of all of this is men. And what is it about South African men that we need to face up to? What is it about role models in male society? What it means to be a real man, what it means to be the kind of man who protects, who serves, who makes the country great. And these are things which preoccupy Charlie Peterson. So it's always good, Charlie, to see you. And I'm going to hand you over to Lebang and to Yatish this morning because
thank
I'm sure.
Dear.
Nice to see you, man. They've got so many questions for you.
Same here, man.
Yeah, I know. It's great to see you. And first of all, how are you before we even get into all the issues?
You know, I escaped death. I had COVID. I had a heart attack. I was listening to you guys. Not a heart attack, a stroke because of all the stress.
That's
so I survived.
Hectic.
I was in Cape Town in George where I was hit by this mild stroke. And
wow.
No, I was gone, guys. Yes, yo. I see life now through other lenses now and appreciate every yes, I was gone, I was gone. But I'm here and still serving the same cause of our young boys and men. Mm. And I had a nice men's conference on Saturday where men really wants to come up, you know, and said we want to make a difference.
Charlie, I'm so pleased you're all right. That's a scary story. I mean, a stroke is no small matter. But why don't you start off by just telling mostly, you know, the people who are listening, but also to Yatish and Lebang, who don't know you as well as I do, how you got involved in this, what you can tell us about South Africa and men in South Africa. And I know for some people it might be beating the same old drum, but I think this needs way more attention and it doesn't get nearly enough in the media.
Hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Gerrit. Charlie, born through a single mother. And I decided in 2016 to start a foundation, the Growing Up Without a Father Foundation, because I believe that most that are committed by men and boys are there because they lack guidance, they lack mentorship. And then I had some good mentors that helped me, you know, to cope when I grew up without a father. It was tough. It was not easy. But I believe one at a time, if I come up and said, I want to mentor and coach a young boy in South Africa to spend a lot of money on kids, you know, that's what I see. Kids just need a hug. They just need to be told that, you know, it's going to be fine. And also we also need to be careful because some of us are not there for genuine things, Garrett. You know, as men, we also, you know, there's pedophiles and everything, but not all men are like that. So we took them through a nice make sure that if I trust this guy for 5 minutes with somebody else's child. Mm. Then this child is in good hands. So there are good men out there. They are really, really good men. I can see them. But they are standing, you know, far behind them. You know, every man has been seen as a monster. You know, when you look at a man now, you'll think, hey, what's going to happen? Mm. Because if you look at the stats and the crime stats, now that came out really, and I was asking another colleague of mine, is it worth it? Because every time, especially on 16 days of activism, all these important days, there are a lot of things that are be committed by men. And I was asking myself, is it still worth it? I was asking Tate Jerry Mofokeng, who's my mentor, is it still worth it for us to push this agenda of men? He said, but Charlie,
Charlie,
if we don't push it.
Your internet, can I just ask you quickly? I'm just going to take you off quickly and just come back, go off and then come back on, because I think your internet's just lagging a little bit, so it's making it difficult to follow the conversation. You mentioned Dr. Jerry Mofokeng, who I actually spoke to the other day, who also feels very strongly about this. But Yatish and Lebang, based on what Charlie's just told us, and we'll get him back on right now, do you think that this is something which South Africans have to face up to? Is it something which resonates with you guys, and is it something that you feel doesn't get the attention it deserves?
Yeah, no, definitely, 100%. In the past couple of weeks with the people I've been interviewing on Life with Lebang, I think last week specifically, I spoke to a young male who, same thing, you know, he grew up in a single household, and he noticed that most of the issues that he faced in his personal life literally came from the fact that there was no guidance, there was no leadership in the household. And what we mustn't forget is that these things start in the household. And 70% of Black households are fatherless. 70% is a scary number, guys. It's not just, you know, it's not even half. It's 70%. And when you think about the long-term effects that this has on a young boy growing up, a young girl growing up, those same traumas that they experience and that same, inferiority, that same insecurity, they take this in their childhood. They become teenagers with the same thing. They become young adults with the same thing. And it just has like a ripple effect on every single thing that they do. And definitely not enough attention is put on, you know, on this matter. So I'm quite excited to just hear exactly the kind of work that Charlie does and some of the real, the tangible things that he's actually seen in his experience and how this has improved the lives of these young men and women. So, that's my two cents.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the part that really struck me when Lebang was sort of sharing information on some of the work that Charlie and the foundation were doing was that stat around 70%, right? Because, you know, what you've got to consider there as well is then, you know, it means 70% of those households are single parent households, being the mother. And then you've got to think about the sort of stress economically as well for a single income to be able to maintain that household, which I'm sure puts added pressure on, you know, how much the mum is away from home to try to sort of earn a living. So it's not just that these 70% of the households have only half the parent. I would argue they've almost got none, right? Because I'm sure the work for the other parent just to keep things going is so much. So, you know, that's a really, really alarming statistic. And you know, so much of what we talk about in terms of this is us and nation building and all that good stuff, you've got to, you know, for you to show compassion, someone's got to show it to you when you were younger. And so, for you to, you know, you can only demonstrate the things you've been shown. So I think that the absence of that for so many young South Africans is incredibly alarming.
Yeah, Charlie, we got you back, and I think the internet's probably a bit better now. So let's just talk about what it means to be a man and what you try to tell these young men, and how you try to inculcate in them stuff that, you know, in your sessions and in your workshops, you have them for maybe, you know, a few hours, but you're trying to squeeze years and years of what they probably need into a short space of time.
Yeah.
What do you want them to come away with? What's the best stuff that you can tell these young men?
Get it, the self-confidence and self, most important of all of these things, you know, self-love, because most of them, they started to hate, you know, because of the conditions that they are and the things that they experience around them, because everything that's happening around them, it's always against them. So the first thing that we spend time, it's about self-love. Who am I? Identity, you know, you're not your father. Your father is not you. What are your goals? What are your visions? What are your dreams? Because it's important to have these boys to become, to dream again, because I was a dreamer, you know, when I grew up, you know, I come out of poverty. The most important thing that helped me was to dream and have a goal and said, one day, I want to be on Garrett's show and everything. I'm just making an example, but you have to have something to reach out to, and also to make them aware that, you know, anger is a destroyer. Hate is a destroyer, because it's destroying you, because you become more angry. And we do a lot of work in prison. 90% of the guys in prison are full of anger and hate. So as government, we think that we are rehabilitating these people. No, we're not, because they just want to come out and do what is inside light of them. Administration, love yourself, you know, look at life otherwise than that people will look at you. I was with Bennett Parker yesterday of KZ, who's also a good role model, where Bennett said, you know, I stayed in a shack with my mother, but I had a goal and said, one day I'm going to use soccer to be my vehicle to come out of poverty. So we are saying to the boys, get something. Get a vehicle that will get you out of poverty, because you staying in a garage or a mukuku does not make you a mukuku.
Yeah.
Sure. So yeah, this is where we tap into them. Self-love is tough, because after a set, is it still the internet?
Yeah, no, we yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, there's a bit of a delay there. It's we're trying, Charlie, but I know
because that also it's not their conditions. We also taught them that don't think about where you are, think about
where you're going.
No, it's up and down on this internet.
Where you want to be, because I let them dream, I let them close me. Is it?
Yeah.
I said close your eyes and dream. It's yes, Gareth.
So let's just talk about these men in prisons, because we know that the prison population is by a huge degree male. I mean, in South Africa, we've got like way more men in prison than we do women, and that's all over the world. That's the case. But you said these guys are angry. Like, dealing with that, we don't have a lot of social workers in this country. We don't have people who can sit down. These guys don't get therapy. They don't get psychologists and psychiatrists helping them out. No one helps them. They go into prison and they come out worse, because in prison, you have to survive every day and every night, and it's a dog-eat-dog world. And you probably come out more dangerous than when you go in.
Yes. Yes. And I think you had Gayton McKenzie on the show. I love that conversation, you know, where Gayton was telling you what's happening. That's the real life. Because inside there, we're trying to get in there, but they don't allow you. So that we can also show them that, you know, forgiveness is a very important thing, because you're actually releasing yourself from prison in prison, because you are prison in, you are a prisoner in your mind. So we talk to them, but also they need a lot of follow-up. And, you know, our foundation is not government funded. We're trying to do it with donations and everything. We can only reach a certain number of people, but we said if we can change one person's life, then we have changed a lot. So they are frustrated, Gera. They are sitting there. I think they are planning more to do the things, you know, that they that brought them there, but quicker and better. But we can allow them, get them some books, get them some, you know, teachings, get them some lectures to show them there is life in our program, and they are changed people. Really, they want to make a difference.
Yeah,
but they are angry.
Yeah. Charlie, I'm really quite interested in the reconciliation work that you guys do, because what we focus on this is us is obviously the solutions and the kinds of things that we can actively get involved in to really make tomorrow better. So I know that a part of your guys' program is also to reconcile a son and a father. I found that to be so mind-blowing. How exactly do you guys go about doing that? Because when I heard that, I thought, "Makhumbule kaya," or, you know, one of those one of those situations where you bring a father and a son together. I thought that was so great. Can you tell us more about that?
Thank you, Lebang. Look, it's tears. Others like this girl, her father left the house when she was small to move next door with another family. Yes. We're busy with a documentary. It's coming out soon. She's also part of that. He moved next door, and for 31 years, he ignored them. And, you know, he moved, he went to work and everything from the house. And she was always saying that, you know, Dr. Charlie, when I'm hungry and I can smell the food coming from next door, and I know my father is the provider that side, and he left us. So when she was supposed to get married, she read my book, Growing Up Without a Father, because I had a book, Growing Up Without a Father, and the other book is Boy Child You Matter, where I really stressed on the boy child that he do matter. So after she read my book and came to the part of reconciliation and peacemaking, she said, hey, I want to meet this guy. I said to her, can I send a team? Can we come with you? She said, no, I want to go one-on-one with him. She went and they reconciled, and most of them, Lebang, of these fathers are so captured, that after meeting their kids, they passed on, they go. because they sit there, you know, it's frustrated. You think that you're just donating a sperm and it's gone. It's going to follow you, that sperm, you know, until the end. So most of them are very emotional. Both of them, you put together after twins that, and especially girls meeting their fathers for the first time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think there's, Charlie, I hope you can hear me. Like, there's a lot of trauma, obviously, involved in this process of reconciliation. And I don't know if you'd agree, but would you say that for most parts, the fathers themselves don't really know what to do? They don't know how to dad, and they don't know how to father. Mm. So the easiest thing to do is kind of run away and just hope that things will work out, you know?
Yeah. Like with mine, I went and met him at the age of 21. He didn't even recognize me, you know. I was standing there in front of him. He never recognized me. And I asked him, how many of us are there outside that you have a father? He said, there's a few, because you're the only one that came and looked up for me. And I did bury him, you know. So they don't know, huh? They don't know, and they're just rolling on and on and on. And the guilt part also is there.
Oh, this internet's very frustrating. I'm sorry, Charlie. We're
it
trying
can also
to...
happen from ladies. Say...
We got massive buffering issues on your part. Yeah, I'm gonna kick you out again, and then you can come back because it was fine for a while, and then it just got messy again. So, I mean, Tish, based on what Lebang just asked Charlie now, and this is really a tough thing for most people to face up to, because everybody has some issue with, you know, the way they're raised or their parents or something else. But in this country, we know the statistics are horrifying. We also have the additional problem that most of these men, as Lebang says, they don't know how to dad, but they don't even know how to look after themselves, let alone a family. And they have emotional problems and have psychological problems. And it's tough being a man because you don't just automatically get love as a guy. You have to earn the love as a guy. And that's not always true. It shouldn't be for children, obviously, but it's hard. And men are judged by how well they do and how much they can provide.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other thing that's hard, and I'm sure I wanted to pick Charlie's brain in terms of how difficult that is or where he finds those challenges. But the two things that you know sort of are really fascinating to me. The one would be, you know, how does he find support for the cause, right? Because, you know, we're so good at a society either calling someone a good person or a bad person, versus going, you know, the issues are a bit more complex, they're a bit more challenging. So, you know, I'm sure it's easier to raise funds and awareness for feeding kids or sort of, you know, doing good to the innocent. But to rehabilitate people is a hard cause, I'm sure, to sort of champion. You know, to your point about prisons. Yeah. You know, it's, you know, we'd want to lock them up and forget about them rather than going, what's the hard yards here to rehabilitate? And in many ways, though, I think it's so important to face up to that because, you know, as a country, we have to believe that something that hasn't gone well can be rehabilitated, right? Because in a way, that's the sort of broader South African challenges. We have to be able to understand that. So, you know, the first thing for me is how willing we are as a society, I think, to look at the parts that aren't working and really want to address that. And for me, that's a super interesting thought. And the other thing I think for me would be, if I think about Muzi's, you know, I chatted with Muzi a few weeks back, and we spoke about anger being quite a useful emotion. And you can get angry in one of two ways. You can either get destructive when you're angry, or you can sort of channel that anger into motivate. You know, for someone like Charlie on the ground, is to go, what's that difference? You know, what's the difference if all these kids are angry? You know, in his experience, how do you take the anger from being something negative to being something positive, where someone's saying, I want to channel the anger to reconcile with my dad, or I want to channel the anger to have a better life or have a better vision. Just wondering what that is.
So, Charlie, why don't you, because I see Charlie's just come back on now, tell us a little bit about this idea of stand-in dads. And that's part of what you do. Now, we can see your silhouette, but at least we can hear you properly. What are the stand-in dads, Charlie? Tell us about it.
I move rooms. What we do with the stand-in dads? Do I sound better now?
You sound yes. Fine. Yeah, don't worry. It's all good.
Okay. Forget the silhouette. So what we do as a foundation, we have a day where we invite people from the community, you know, leaders, sports people and everything to come in and stand in as dads. But we train them before and said, you're going to meet a boy that don't know what is it to for a person to give him a hug. What is it, you know, to be shown love? So you'll get some resistance. So we train them for a day before they meet with the boys. And we just allow the boys on that day to become boys, just to talk. And they start opening up. Others are very scared and reserved because they are being molested. Mm-hmm. But people don't know that boys are being molested big time. And especially by family members that are saying that if you talk, I'm going to do this to you, or I'm going to do that to you, or I'll give you something, don't talk. So they start opening up and tell us what's happening. Is that's where we have also psychologists after that, you know. We're not like Kumbula Kaya, that just scratching the wound and leaving it like that. We dig deep into that. And, you know, even fathers, the standing there's, most of them never had fathers, and they also start crying. So it's also healing for them to meet this voice. This is what the program is all about. It's a whole day of just the boy being a boy, having somebody to tell him, you know, I have dreams, I have wet dreams. What do I do with wet dreams? Because boys, these things happen. Then no, wet dreams just shows that you're growing and everything. There's some hair growing here. They never had someone to tell them what's happening with their bodies and what's happening in their upbringing and everything. So we use this fathers, you know, to be part of the process.
Yeah. Charlie, you know, we just spoke, Nana, while you're reconnecting. And I think Yatish had such an important point that you touched on about when you obviously engage with the prisoners and how most of them are just fueled with anger and hatred. And ultimately, you know, we've discussed it on This Is Us before, how we can take that exact emotion or that energy rather and, you know, use it to fuel positivity and use that anger to fuel good intentions and good things. So I guess, you know, Yatish can maybe ask us a bit better, but from what you've done and with the work that you guys do, you know, what are some of the practical ways and things that you've seen work, you know, for that ultimately have let these young boys and these men and use that anger and that hatred and turn it around?
Excellent question, Lebang. That's why we start with self-love, you know, with our course. We concentrate on self-love, and after that, we concentrate on the person himself. You know, there's greatness in you. We try to get all the beautiful things out of him. We ask him, you know, as a kid, what were your dreams? What were your ambitions and everything? So out of that, you pick up, oh, this guy wanted to be a writer. This guy wanted to be, you know, all of this. And we said, you know, you can still do it. You know, we can try and get you some training material or this and this. We can give you this and this. So we focus on the greatness of him. And we also ask him, how great will it be for you to make a difference in somebody else's life? And they said, no, I'm going to, after this course, I'm going to be a coach and a mentor to another inmate that, you know, that's struggling with this. So we just open their eyes a little bit, give them a little bit of tools, and they are the ones, you know, they call me out of prison, and these guys are amazing. You don't know where do they get a cell phone and everything. They will tell me, Charlie, I'm busy with this and this and this. Please come next time and do this and this. But, you know, they've got somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
This is what Charlie, we try.
Sorry, Charlie, the other question we asked is and particularly around, I guess, you know, we could probably also talk to how people can get involved. But, you know, in terms of, like you say, you're not government funded, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. How do you find, you know, the other thing we were talking about is how difficult it is to probably get people over the line and convince them that, you know, who they would consider criminals or who they would consider sort of unsavory elements of society need support, probably more so than anyone else. Mm. And what are some of those challenges in getting support for, you know, the sort of challenges you face?
Yatish, the most important thing is that most of the executives and everything in big companies are men, and they are broken. When they hear about my foundation, you know, say growing up about the father foundation, he himself is broken and he's scared that also he also fathered a lot of kids outside of marriage. So for him to get involved with me, he will be exposed. So this is one of the biggest things that are giving us a great, great, you know, stumbling block. So what we do, we raise funds by maybe having events where we invite guest speakers. And I know my guest speaker, Garrett, is always busy, you know, but I think next year I'll get him as one of my speakers because what he don't realize, he's a great role model, you know, he is a great role model. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is to get those funds. Like, I'm busy now with this documentary. I said, you know, I can't reach everyone. I need to put this documentary together. So this documentary will be finished by March so that everyone can see that we are really sitting with a bigger, bigger problem than HIV and AIDS and all those things, because social ills start with fatherlessness. And I believe that if we can get that awareness around this fatherlessness and the impact it has for the economy, on the business and everything, Yatish, then people can really realize that we also maybe need a department of men and boys, not only a department of women and children, but men and boys, because they are also broken. Men are also broken. We need to bring the two together and level the playing field.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, Charlie, listen, strength to you and all the work that you are doing. And we will be putting all the details of Charlie's foundation up on cliffcentral.com. Thank and if you can contribute, whether it's in time, whether it's in money, whether it's in resources, all of that would be appreciated. Robin wants to know, how do we contribute? Well, Charlie can help answer that, and you can get in contact with him directly. I mean, this documentary of yours sounds like a terrific idea. And Yatish and Mbang, I'm proud that we could bring this up. I know it's not something that we've avoided on this show before, but it is new to This Is Us, and it's something which deserves more attention from corporate South Africa, from government, but also from those individuals who want to make a difference for others. And Charlie says this is part of what he does with all the guys he talks to, but it's something we can all do. You know, if your cup is more than half full, then help to fill yes. someone else's. And as men, yes. really, you're not going to, men don't, we don't talk as much as women do. And we need to come to terms with the fact that we've got lots to talk about and we've got to stand up yes. and help each other.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Charlie. I think the work it speaks for itself. It's awesome. And to be able to really commit your life to something that's that important. Yatish, funny enough, I've been in the interviews I've been doing in the past couple of weeks, I'm seeing like a bit of a shift where usually I'd speak to people that, you know, would give food to the homeless and would really help, you know, from like a day to day. Now I'm speaking to people that are more interested in like the psychological and like yes. the mental shift, and that work and how important that work really is just, it's mind blowing. And more people who are willing to serve, you know, their fellow South Africans are realizing that the real change and the real work that needs to be done starts in the head. So I'm very, yes. very glad that we're able to chat to you today, Charlie, because really that's what you do. Thank and you. The fact that you're able to dedicate your time to that and you're able to use your story and flip it on its head and yes. encourage others. And I just think it's beautiful. And I wish you guys all the best. Really, I do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the moment for us to share with the nation. Thank you, G.
Always good to see you, Charlie. Gish. Thanks, man.
Same here.
I love the way, Charlie, with your picture at the moment, we just see a silhouette of you. It's almost like those, you know where they interview those dangerous people who want to remain anonymous. So they
yes, yes.
It's like a Vice documentary. Yeah, it's a Vice documentary.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Thanks so much.
A symbol of a disappearing father. You know, they look like this when they are born.
Well, thank God that's not what you're doing. It's good to see you. Thank you, Charlie.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Have a good Tuesday, everyone. Awesome. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, everybody. CliffCentral.com.